Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the past few sessions, I have been talking about faith or iman. As I have emphasized frequently, true faith is not a set of religious doctrines or even a set of religious practices. It is a strong, loving relationship with God. When faith takes root in a person, it will produce certain effects in the faithful's character, behavior, and orientation to life in general. In various verses, the Quran spells out some behavior that organically, naturally emerge in a person of faith. In chapter 9, verse 71, we read, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. The men and women of faith are protectors of one another. They enjoin right and forbid wrong. They perform salat and give zakat. In previous sermons, I have covered in detail enjoining right and forbidding wrong, and also salat. Today, I will discuss zakat, which is a very important concept. Zakat is widely understood by Muslims and non-Muslims as a form of alms giving, giving alms. What is alms? Most dictionaries define alms as money, food, or other donations which is given to the poor or the needy, anything that is given as charity. So zakat is often viewed as charitable contribution to the needy. Is this true? Is zakat really charitable contribution? Not really, not entirely. This view of zakat, in other words, zakat as charitable contribution, is heavily influenced by the so-called Islamic law or fiqh. This view of zakat in fiqh is not entirely based on the Quran. In fact, it is mostly based on hadith and also the opinion of early Muslim jurists. In other words, the predominant view of zakat is based on the statements attributed to the Prophet Muhammad and the opinion of the founders of the various schools of Islamic jurisprudence, not the Holy Quran. In Islamic law, there is widespread disagreement on zakat. For example, there is disagreement on which things zakat is applicable to. For example, is zakat applicable to harvested items such as wheat or precious metals, or manufactured goods and ordinary income? Opinion vary on this question. Also, how much to pay for zakat? The magic number that you often hear in conversations about zakat is 2.5%. So most schools of law in Islamic jurisprudence claim that the rate for zakat is 2.5%. There is yet another controversial question in Islamic law. Is zakat mandatory or optional? At first, it may seem that zakat ought to be mandatory for practicing Muslims, right? Because, after all, it's a commandment in the Quran. But legally speaking, if you look at this question from purely a legal perspective, it is not so straightforward. Since the early days of Islam, some Muslim scholars have argued that zakat is actually a form of taxation. They claim that today we pay zakat. Back in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, tax was called zakat, the same thing. In fact, the Encyclopedia Britannica actually defines zakat, and I quote, as an obligatory tax required of Muslims. An obligatory tax required of Muslims. In the past, various Muslim caliphates, such as the Abbasid, they collected tax from their population and called it zakat. Well, if zakat is a tax, then one can argue that Muslims should not pay zakat anymore. Why? Why? Because in all modern states, people have to pay taxes if they have sufficient income. And a good portion of the tax revenue is spent on the needy and the poor in one way or another. For example, in the US, the government spends somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of its tax revenues for social programs that primarily benefit the poor and the needy, what we call the social safety net. Let's say you are in the 30% federal tax bracket. That means 15% of the tax you pay to the Uncle Sam goes for social programs that benefit the poor and the needy. That is 6 times the 2.5% zakat that you must pay for the same cause in Islam, right? And that's only for federal tax. It doesn't include state tax. So that's the argument against paying zakat in the modern times, if you view zakat as a form of tax. So if zakat is a form of tax, then paying zakat is double taxation today. Now, Islamic law is not the area of my research or even my interest, so I will not spend more time on these questions. Since this is a Quran study session, let's see what the Quran actually teaches on zakat. Zakat is one component of generous giving in the Quran. Let me repeat. Zakat is only one component of generous giving in the Quran. You see, generous giving is part and parcel to all world religions. It is impossible to find a religion where giving is not emphasized. Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, they all consider giving to the needy a hallmark of true believers. So, generous giving is not unique to Islam. In the Quran, there are 3 words associated with generous giving. Not 1 word, but 3 words. Zakat, sadaqah, and infaq. One more time. Zakat, sadaqah, and infaq. So, to get a good handle on generous giving, we must consider all the verses that deal with zakat, sadaqah, and infaq. Let's quickly examine these 3 concepts. Zakat comes from the root word in Arabic, zakah, which has 2 meanings. The first meaning is to purify, and the second meaning is to grow. So zakat essentially means to purify and to grow. In the Quran, zakat is the twin sister of salat, what we call ritual daily prayer. Zakat goes together with salat, as in chapter 9, verse 71, which I cited earlier. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Those who perform salat, ritual daily prayer, and give zakat. So, in the Quran, salat and zakat are conjoined. They always go hand in hand, and there is a good reason for that, which I hope to address in a future talk. Now comes a critical point. There are no specific instructions on zakat in the Quran. The Quran is silent on details on zakat. For example, the Quran does not tell us what zakat is applicable to. Is it just ordinary income or particular possessions such as precious metals? How much to pay for zakat? The Quran doesn't say. Just a simple commandment: give zakat. Perhaps there is a good reason why the Quran is silent on details. Stay tuned. I will talk about that in a few minutes. The second concept involving generous giving in the Quran is sadaqah. Sadaqah is any offering done with sincerity and truthfulness. So the critical point in sadaqah is sincerity and truthfulness. The person offers something with sincerity and truthfulness. Now, in Arabic language, women's dowry is called sadaq, which comes from the same root as sadaqah. So sadaq or dowry is meant to be an offering that shows a man's sincere devotion and love to his bride. Chapter 9, verse 103 directs the Prophet Muhammad to collect sadaqah from believing Muslims. خُذْ مِنْ أَنْبَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُتَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُذَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Pay attention to three Arabic words in this verse: sadaqa, tutahhirahum, and tuzakkihim. The English translation of this verse is the following: O Prophet Muhammad, take an offering from the believer's wealth to cleanse and purify them. Notice here that sadaqa is connected to cleansing and purification. تُتَحِّرَهُمْ وَتُذَكِّيهِمْ. Well, purification is the root of zakat. Do you remember? Zakat comes from the root zaka, which means to purify, right? So here we clearly see that sadaqah and zakat are interrelated. They are interrelated. In chapter 9, verse 60, the Quran spells out 8 categories of people who can receive sadaqah. In other words, these people are the beneficiaries of sadaqah. As a side note, in Islamic law, when they talk about recipients of zakat, they refer actually to this verse. And interestingly enough, this verse is about sadaqah, not zakat. Here it is. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. So here are the 8 categories for sadaqah. First, fuqara, the poor or the destitute. The destitute, those who are without means of subsistence. Those who lack food, clothing, and shelter. The second group, masakin, the needy. Masakin are not destitute, but they do not have sufficient income to meet their basic necessities. The third group, wal-amilin alayha, those employed to administer the funds or sadaqat. In other words, if there are institutions that collect sadaqat, the employees of those institutions can receive a portion of the funds or the sadaqat. The fourth category or the fourth group, riqab, those whose hearts have recently reconciled to the truth, or the converts, those who have recently converted to Islam. The fifth category, riqab, those in bondage. In other words, sadaqah can be used to free slaves or captives. Those who are captives in war, for example. The sixth category, qaramin, those who are in debt. So sadaqah can be used to pay off the debts of a person who has borrowed to pay for basic necessities. The seventh category, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In other words, for anything in the cause of God. So sadaqah can be used to finance any form of struggle, any form of work for the cause of God. And the last category, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, the wayfarer, those who are stranded during a journey. So these are the 8 groups, 8 categories of people who are the appropriate beneficiaries of sadaqah. The third word involving generous giving in the Quran is infaq. The word infaq means to spend. So in Arabic language, infaq means to spend. The Quran repeatedly mentions that infaq is a hallmark of the righteous. Chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, starts with describing the righteous, the pious, and it spells out the hallmarks of the righteous. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْقَيْبَ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. So it's the last part of the verse that is about infaq. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The righteous are those who spend from that which we have provided them. So they spend a portion of what God has provided for them to the needy. So the Quran does not have just one word for generous giving, but 3. Infaq, sadaqah, and zakat. In fact, the Quran sometimes uses these 3 words interchangeably, and that's very interesting. The Quran sometimes uses zakat, sadaqah, and infaq interchangeably. In other words, the same idea is sometimes expressed using different words. Let me give you just one example. In chapter 2, verse 262, the word infaq is used. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَنْبَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّا لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنًّا وَلَا أَذًا لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. those who spend their wealth in the way of God and do not follow their spending with reminders of their benevolence or hurtful words, they will have their rewards with their Lord. In the same chapter, chapter 2, if you go down two verses to verse 264, you will notice that the verse describes the exact same idea, except this time using the word sadaqah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Notice that here in this verse, sadaqat is used. O you who believe, do not annul your acts of charity. Do not cancel your acts of charity with reminders and hurtful words, like someone who spends his wealth only to be seen by people. There is another important point mentioned in these two verses that I would like to bring to your attention. So before I get to that, you notice that the same idea, in other words, the fact that we should not do acts of charity with reminders and hurtful words, the same idea is used once using infaq and the second time using sadaqah. Now let me talk about that really insightful word of wisdom that is mentioned in these two verses. These two verses shed light on a critical distinction between Islamically oriented giving and ordinary charitable contribution. A lot of times I see people equating zakat, infaq, sadaqah with charitable contribution. Well, that's not true. We should not equate sadaqah, infaq, and zakat with charity and philanthropy. I hear it all the time from people. They say, oh, my friend is not religious at all, he's not even a Muslim, but he is so kind and generous. He spends so much money on charity. He's a better Muslim than me. Well, charity is a wonderful act, no question about that. But it is not zakat. In charity and philanthropy, the idea is to help the needy. Philanthropists essentially do that. Their aim, their goal is to help the needy. Their intention does not matter at all. It doesn't matter why a philanthropist chooses to give. What matters is that his giving helps other people. Those who follow business news, they must have seen this news item that Elon Musk donated $5.7 billion with capital B, $5.7 billion to charity. That's a truckload of money. Well, it doesn't really matter why Elon Musk chose to donate $5.7 billion to charity. It doesn't matter what his intentions were. Was it for show? For the limelight? To evoke people's admiration? His intention doesn't matter. What matters is that a lot of people will benefit from his contribution. That's what matters. But in sadaqah, infaq, and zakat, intention matters greatly. In fact, it's all about intention. Why? Why? Because you give, you spend to purify yourself, to grow spiritually. That is your goal. That is your aim. Not just to help the needy, but to purify yourself, to grow spiritually. Now, as a Muslim, if you give for show, if you gloat after giving, if you expect the recipient to say something that soothes your ego, if you say a word that hurts the feeling of the recipient, guess what? This will cancel your giving altogether. Any of the things that I just mentioned, if you do any of them, it will annul your giving altogether. It defeats the purpose. You have spent money but gained nothing whatsoever. Absolutely nothing. Now, this leads us to the philosophy of generous giving in Islam. Now that we know zakat, infaq, sadaqah is not the same thing as ordinary charitable contribution and philanthropy, let's talk about the philosophy of generous giving in Islam. What is the underlying philosophy of sadaqah, infaq, and zakat? For the sake of brevity, for the sake of saving my breath, I will just use the word zakat in the remainder of my talk. But I actually mean the totality of generous giving, which includes sadaqah and infaq as well. So now let's talk about the philosophy of zakat. If you ask a mystic, such as Rumi, what is the whole purpose of religion? Why does Islam matter? The mystic would say, the purpose of religion is ultimately to take on the color of God, to become godly. Or to say it more accurately, to realize God in ourselves. The whole point of religion is for people to realize God in themselves, to take the color of God, to become godly. As I always emphasize in my talks, God does not live somewhere in the outer space, such that if you want to reach Him, you would have to walk a long, long distance and face unimaginable hardships and horror to get to His palace. God lives within you. God lives within you. Your distance from God is actually just one step. This is a critical teaching of our mystics. Your distance from God is actually just one step. As Shams Tabrizi, Rumi's spiritual master, put it so beautifully and so eloquently. خدا پرستی آن است که خود پرستی را رها کنی. خدا پرستی آن است که خود پرستی را رها کنی. Shams said, you will reach God when you let go of your ego, when you let go of your selfishness. So our distance from God is simply the size of our ego. The bigger the ego, the greater the distance from God. Remember, we're talking about the philosophy of zakat and generous giving in Islam. When we rid ourselves from egoism, when we rid ourselves from selfishness, we will be filled with God. What does Shamsa Tabrizi mean by the ego? Well, ego is our false sense of identity, our illusory self, the illusion that we all carry in our head about who we are. We all tend to identify ourselves with possessions, our zip code, our job title, our fame, our social status and power. Let's not be shy. These are the sort of things that we typically identify with. This is how we define ourselves. And these things are the building blocks of the ego. These things are the building blocks of the ego. These are the things that feed the ego. And that's where zakat comes in. Zakat is essentially a spiritual matter, not transactional. I know it is confusing to some of you. We tend to view zakat as money exchanging hands, money going from the haves to the haves not. That's our ordinary conception of zakat. But zakat is not that. Zakat is a pathway for spiritual development. Its primary purpose is to purify our heart and soul from attachments. The whole point in zakat is to gradually loosen our attachments to things that we identify with. As Abu Hamid Muhammad Al-Ghazali correctly said, zakat maliyat mal nist, balke zududan hubb mal az dil hast. Zakat is not a tax on wealth. Rather, it is a spiritual medicine to cleanse love of wealth from the heart. So profound what Ghazali shares with us. Zakat is not a tax on wealth. Rather, it is a spiritual medicine. What is the use of that spiritual medicine we call zakat? To cleanse love of wealth from our heart. And mal or wealth is not just money. Wealth is not just money, but anything that we treasure. Anything that we treasure. It could be our home, car, fame, power, social status, the special connections that we have with centers of power. If a heart is filled with the love of these things, there will be no room for God anymore. If a heart is filled with the love of these things, there is no room for God in that heart, right? Zakat opens the door for God to enter our heart. When we give out of what we love, we will make room for God in our heart. That's what the Quran calls the first step in inviting God to our life. What is the first step in inviting God to our life? Here is what the Quran says. Chapter 2, verse 177. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. The first step is giving away the wealth despite loving it. I believe the most profound teaching of the Quran for spiritual development is verse 92 in chapter 3, which so eloquently describes the philosophy of generous giving in the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain bir unless you give from that which you love. What is bir? Bir is goodness that has no bounds. Infinite goodness, ocean of goodness. That's what bir is. You cannot reach the ocean of goodness unless and until you give from what you cherish the most. That's the wisdom that this verse tries to impart on us, right? You will never reach infinite goodness, the ocean of goodness, unless you give from whatever you cherish the most. This will detoxify your heart. It will clear the path for you to reach the ocean of goodness. What do we call the ocean of goodness? What do we call the goodness that has no bounds? What do we call infinite goodness? God. That's who God is, right? God is the infinite. So, the verse essentially tells us that you will not reach God unless you give from that which you love, that which you cherish. The more you give out of what you cherish and treasure, the smaller your ego and selfishness will get, and the more room for God in your life. That's essentially the philosophy of zakat. Now perhaps we can appreciate why the Quran is silent on the details of zakat. Why it doesn't tell us, for example, what sort of things zakat applies to. Zakat applies to everything you gain, not just financial wealth. Let me repeat one more time. Zakat applies to everything you gain. It is not limited to financial wealth, contrary to popular understanding. Let me give you some examples of what we gain, and we have to pay zakat for them. When you gain knowledge, you must pay zakat. What is zakat of knowledge? Sharing your knowledge with the needy, with those who don't have that knowledge and could benefit from it. When you gain victory over an opponent, you must pay zakat. What is the zakat of victory? Forgiveness of the vanquished. Forgiving those that you have vanquished, that you have overcome. When you gain political power, you must pay zakat. What is zakat of political power? Helping the helpless and the oppressed. Becoming the voice of the voiceless. Not catering to special interests the way politicians do these days. When you gain fame and notoriety, you must pay zakat. What is the zakat of fame? Using your popularity and fame to invite people to goodness, to projects that please God. Well, it should now be fairly obvious why the Quran does not even specify how much to give for zakat. Because zakat is not necessarily transactional. You cannot always put a dollar figure on it. Even for monetary giving, you cannot put a fixed rate on giving. It all depends on where you are in your journey to God. Let me repeat one more time. The reason the rate for zakat is not mentioned in the Quran is that how much you pay for zakat depends on where you are in your spiritual journey to God. It is said that someone asked Bayezid Bastami, one of our renowned mystics who lived some 1200 years ago, how much should I pay for zakat? Bayezid responded, if it is your wealth, Sharia suggests 2.5%. But if it is my wealth, it all belongs to the needy. Bayezid makes a good point here. There is no one-size-fits-all in authentic religion. You cannot always formalize or standardize spiritual practices. Once we understand the underlying philosophy of zakat, we should help those in need in whatever form and capacity we can. If you see a need, if you find a pothole, plug it as much as you can. As we feel closer to God, we will give more and more. Not because we are obligated, but because it is the right thing to do. We will find joy in giving. It will make us feel truly human and godly. Now, I don't want to sound elitist here. We are not saints like Bayezid. Those guys are in a different category and they abide by a different set of rules. The average person obviously needs concrete rules and numbers for giving. This is perhaps the reason why our jurists came up with concrete rules for zakat, such as paying 2.5% annually on financial assets. People, the average people, need to know. I don't see anything wrong with that, but I would just make one disclaimer here. We should view these rules as guidelines. As we mature spiritually, as we feel more connected with God, we will naturally go beyond the minimum that the jurists prescribe for giving. Well, we have run out of time and I must stop my talk on zakat here. I hope this talk was of some value to you, and hopefully in a future sermon I can elaborate more on this important Quranic concept. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.